time for the Bay Area's favorite quiz show, Minds Over Matter, with moderator Dana Rodriguez, and he's joined by the crew, technical editor Kara Pace and teacher Lori Fisher. And it's got to be our host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Damien, and welcome everybody to the first post-Thanksgiving Minds Over Matter of this year anyway. And we hope you can spare us an hour of your time tonight because Minds Over Matter is, was, and always will be an audience participation quiz program. So now's your chance to participate. All you have to do is give us a call. We have two numbers. Area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll free 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. As I say most weeks, it really is a good idea to try to call as early as possible. If you want to answer one of our questions or you have a question of your own. It's just easier to get on earlier in the show. We don't want anybody getting left out toward the end of the 59 minutes we're going to be on here. So again, 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. I also want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That is the numeral one, mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. Since we are doing the show by Zoom tonight, they might pop up in front of me, but they all get read one way or another. So feel free to give us a send us an email if you are so inclined. Also, if you'd like to hear us in live stream, just go to kalw.org. And of course, the podcast should be up reasonably soon after our show tonight, also at kalw.org and many other places, many, many, many other places, but start with KALW. I'm sure they would appreciate that. Okay, we're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. And here's the first. Fisher-Price recently released a Bluetooth-enabled chatter phone, which means that at long last, Kira Pace has finally heard a good argument for getting a cell phone. Yeah, my first cell phone by Fisher-Price. Is that what they call it?
No, it's just the chatter phone. It's the, you know, it's the one with the googly eyes and on the wheels, the phone on the little four wheels, and it's got the receiver. You can slam it down when you're done talking to whomever.
It's just what the world needs, more chatter.
And since it's Fisher Price, a lot of the profits go directly to me. I don't know if you know that. My family fortune is tied up in all Fisher Price things. Just thought I'd mention that.
Good to know.
Thank you. Yeah.
Lori Fisher is so pleased to be celebrating the first night of Hanukkah, started minutes ago, by the way, with the Minds Over Matter audience. He has already sent all of you his favorite Hanukkah gift, socks.
Yep. So everybody listening should have received socks from me as the traditional 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th nights of Hanukkah.
Yes, and don't forget to listen for Moisha, Herschel, and Shlomo, who are Hanukkah Harry's.
That's
right. Donkeys? I forgot.
Yes.
Oh my gosh,
yes.
It's donkeys, right? They're donkeys.
Oh, the
donkeys.
Socks. Six pair. Can you believe it?
Wait.
There you go.
And not only did our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, consume an absurd amount of bird on Thanksgiving, he doesn't know if he will ever be able to look a pie in the eye again.
All right.
I would like to know why you refuse to name the bird. Which bird did you eat? I mean, most people will go ahead and drop turkey for Thanksgiving, and I noticed that you didn't, so.
I have a theory.
Oh, yeah?
He was rhyming, an absurd amount of bird and look pie in the eye, so I think it was poetic.
There you go.
I hope I'm not reading too much into it.
Yeah. I didn't name the turkey because I got so fond of them when they were in my front yard that it hurts me to name it.
That's true. The wild turkeys in your front yard might be listening.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yes. And so now that we are done with that terribly important part of the show, let's move along to the first question, and that will be Kira Pace.
All right. I just learned something this week, and I was thrilled by it, and I hope all of you will be too. The final media appearance of the Solid Gold dancers was not actually on the show Solid Gold. Where was it?
How about, can you give us a year, or is that too indicative?
1988. The last episode of Solid Gold was in July 1988.
Was this a sporting event by any chance?
Nope.
How about, was it the Dean Martin show, or is that too late? Because I thought that he had some affiliation.
Those are the Ding-a-lings.
Is that right? So Dean Martin? No, not the Dean Martin show. Okay.
Not. And since this is a you know it or you don't kind of thing, I can just give you a list question. Since we're already on the subject of Solid Gold, there are seven people who have held the host job on Solid Gold. Who are they? Or rather, who were they? I think actually, in most cases, who are they?
Say that again. I'm not sure I understood that question.
Seven people have been the host of Solid Gold. Solid Gold used to have a presenter. Seven people have held that job. So who are they? Do you remember any? I was actually surprised to see it was seven. I knew of two. I did not realize.
And are there men and women on this list?
There are men and women on this list.
In approximately equal number?
Approximately.
Were any of them Solid Gold dancers themselves before they hosted?
No.
Okay. And give us the years again that the show was on.
81 to 88, I want to say.
Wow.
I probably should have written that down.
In 7 years, seven hosts, huh?
Did they have women hosts on that show? They did have women hosts, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah. So there are three women and four men on this list. And
one of those shows was, I don't know if it was that one or not, was Dionne Warwick. Was Dionne Warwick one of them?
She was the first host, and then she came back in 85.
That's good.
Okay. Dionne Warwick was one. In fact, their musical director was personally chosen by Dionne Warwick. So she kind of had a lot to do with that show.
Were any of them professional dancers?
No. Okay. I mean, so I think it'd be very amusing to see some of them dance. But
no, the hosts were all singers.
But they were
mostly singers?
Mostly. Not entirely, but mostly.
Okay. All right. Just ask your question once more, please.
Well, the first one, the final media appearance of the Solid Gold dancers was not actually on the show Solid Gold. Where was it? And seven people have held the host job on Solid Gold. Who were they? Dana got Dionne Warwick looking for the other six.
All right. And Laura, you go ahead too.
All right. So I have a Hanukkah question since we're going to be on the first and last nights of Hanukkah. I am not a big Adam Sandler fan, but I am an Adam Sandler fan of one of his things, which is the Hanukkah song, which he debuted in 1994 in Saturday Night Live. So here's my question, see if it makes sense. He names a whole lot of people. Okay? I'm looking for the nine people that he named, their first and last names, but their actual names. So not he names Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock, so not them. These are their actual names. And then he names a group, kind of a group thing, who are all Jewish, who are they? And then two people who aren't Jewish, he named specifically as not Jewish. So I have all this, is the longest list I've ever given.
And
so
this is, by the way, from the original one on Saturday Night Live, because he has several versions.
You know a lot about this. Yes, there's at least three or four versions. This is the original I have it in 1994. I don't have the month. So this is the original one. So I'm looking, the main thing I'm looking for is the nine people he names, their first and last names, the two people he says aren't Jewish, in a group. I'll give you, since there's a bunch, three each if you got them. Kira, you could probably do the whole list. So take your favorites.
I don't know that I can do the whole one anymore. Okay. I'll do the group, which is Sha-na-na.
No, he just mentions Bowser from Sha-na-na.
Sha-na-na, which means
he mentions that everybody in this group is Jewish.
Okay. Well, then I'll do Hall of Famer Rod Carew.
Excellent. Give her a bell for that. Hall of Famer Rod Carew. Okay. You give it two more. Dana, what do you have?
All right. I want to make sure I understand this question.
Yeah. Just repeat the question. The question is, in Adam Sandler's Hanukkah song, he mentions eight more people, first and last name, who he says are Jewish, like Rod Carew is one of them. Who are they? He mentions a group. It could be Sha-na-na, but he singles out Bowser. This is everybody in there. He says everybody in this group is Jewish. And then two people he singles out as they are not Jewish. I'm looking for them as well.
Well, I know he mentions Dinah Shore.
Yes, Dinah Shore. Very good.
And he mentions Kirk Douglas.
He does. Bell on that. Give yourself bells.
And then I'll do the other group that he mentions, which is the Three Stooges, yes, which I think is what you're talking about.
All three Stooges. Yes, yeah. I like that very much. That's the group. So I'll give you one more each if you got them.
Well, let's see. He mentions another movie. James Caan. He mentions James Caan. Oh,
excellent. Yeah, he's one of the more obscure ones. Yeah. James Caan, I think most people didn't know that, so give yourself a bell on that. Carrie, you want one?
I'll do half the couple he mentions, which are not really a couple, but Harrison Ford.
Yes, Harrison Ford is a quarter Jewish, although and there's a website to this thing. It indicates that he's actually half Jewish. So I'm looking for six more. I think it's, I'm looking for more names, first and last names of people who appear in Adam Sandler's Hanukkah song. And I'm looking for the two people who are singled out as not Jewish. Both are really well-known stars.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Ed. How are you? So before cell phone, we used to have what is called two-way radios. And the companies that used to make them were Wilson. A service was supplied by only one company. And that time, it was two-way, which means you can only speak and push a button, then listen. That's why they call it two-way. You cannot speak at the same time as the person you're calling. And the service at the time was $50 a month and $2 a minute. Right. Can you compare it with today? Okay. Well, a cell phone came out, I believe, 1981, and our business was the first one to sell them. And at that time, they were about $3,500 for just one model, Motorola D-Mate. Okay. My question is, the Japanese word kamikaze, what does it mean?
Means divine wind.
Okay, very good. All right.
There we go.
What was the occasion for the divine wind? What was the occasion?
I'm sorry. Say that again, Ed. What was the question?
What was the occasion for calling divine wind? When did the divine wind happen? If you remember my call last week, you get a hint.
Do you mean like during war? When did it happen?
Somebody attacked him.
They were used. Kamikazes were used to crash their planes. They were only given.
That is later on. The word divine wind came after being defeated badly by Egypt. The Mongols, about 20 years later, attacked Japan, and just before they attacked Japan, a huge typhoons and big wind came and destroyed their fleet and defeated them. This is the origin. Okay. Second question, very quickly, about your field actors. The two Egyptian actors that achieved very great roles in Egyptian movies, began their career in Egypt, but then became very great actors in the United States. Name them both. I need both of them.
Omar Sharif.
What is the role? Omar Sharif. Okay. Yeah. Give me two movies Omar Sharif played in. Two famous movies.
He was in Funny Girl, and he was in
Very good.
Chicago.
Very good. And Night of the General was another very good one. Okay, who's the other actor? Great Egyptian actor.
You must be thinking of Alex Darcy.
Of course. And both of you should really search him because he's a great actor. Okay, give me just one movie he acted in.
Well, I mean, he's in The Awful Truth. He's in Soldier of Fortune. He's in a lot of great movies. Yeah.
How about the one with Marilyn Monroe? What's the name of that one?
He's in...
Did miserable role in that. It was number one actor.
For Blondes. I think he's in that.
How to
Marry a Millionaire.
That's it. Very good. Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Happy Hanukkah, by the way. Happy Hanukkah. I meant to say that at the beginning. Thank you.
Thank you, Ed. And all right. If you'd like to give us a call, please do. The two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, this is Minds Over Matter, 415-841-4134, or toll-free 866-798-8255. Okay, let me give you a couple questions. What is the most popular option on new cars sold in the United States? What is the most popular add-on option for a new car sold in the U.S.?
Undercoat. Wait, no, not undercoat.
No, not undercoat.
That's an option. Is it have something to do with some part or completely part of automatic driving, like parallel parking or something like that?
No, no.
Okay.
Mm-mm. What about heated seats?
Ooh.
That's exactly right.
Yay.
Heated seats is the number one option.
Yes. That's the number one option that people buy, huh?
Is that yes. Right? Wow. Yeah, it's an add-on, you know. It's,
yeah.
You know, the... okay. And we'll change that. All right. Two slightly longer questions then. What three network TV shows ended their runs as number one for the season? So what three network TV shows ended their runs on network TV as number one for the season?
Now I have a, Kira, you got a guess or two? I have a guess or two.
I got a couple guesses.
All right, one guess. Go first.
I'm going to guess MASH.
Not MASH.
Oh, that was one of my guesses. So thanks for taking that fall.
Yeah, I did it for the team.
I appreciate it. How about Mary Tyler Moore Show?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
I get another
guess. Again, what three famous network TV shows ended their runs? Their first runs, you know, as a regular show, being number one for the season. There were three shows that did that.
Can I have another guess?
Not right now.
Okay.
Second question. This was from Gourmet Magazine. Gourmet Magazine did a survey of what you can do with turkey leftovers. And then they asked their readers to vote on the recipes. And there were four recipes that were voted the worst. What are the four worst recipes, according to Gourmet Magazine, that you do with turkey leftovers?
A la King.
Oh,
no.
That's number one.
That is delicious. It was not one of the worst. I've had turkey a la King. That's not too bad.
No, it's okay. Not too bad. But this is Gourmet Magazine. I was unaware that they were going to go ahead and...
It's true. It's true that none of these recipes are too highfalutin. So what were the four turkey leftover recipes that were voted the worst
by
Gourmet Magazine?
How about something breakfasty like turkey omelets or turkey hash?
No.
Oh, that's
so. Think of it in this way: you're grafting turkey onto an existing recipe in most cases. So basically, an existing concept of food.
So yeah, like turkey pizza.
That's kind of the idea.
Or you're, chili,
you're sort of. Yeah, but chili. No, not that. Not
neither
that.
Of those.
Okay. Turkey chili is actually not. I've had that. That's not good.
I made it. Yeah.
So I don't think you can use pre-cooked turkey for such things.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
I think
let me just go over this once more. So two questions. What are the three network TV shows that ended their run as a regular TV show being number one for the season? And according to Gourmet Magazine, what were voted the four worst idea recipes for turkey leftovers? So Kira suggested turkey pizza, which is sort of on the right track of you're sort of grafting turkey onto different things.
Yeah.
So.
And this is recently, right? Like none of this is going to be like turkey aspic or anything, right?
No. This is within the, I think this article is about a year old.
Okay.
So. How about turkey burritos or tacos?
Well, you got the right idea, but it's not that.
Okay, we're circling around it.
Yeah. So
turkey pancakes.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello. How about the Three Stooges?
The Three Stooges, Kira already got, is mentioned in the song, but give them a bell.
I'm sorry.
No, that's all right.
I thought it was kind of funny because you said a Jewish group. And they're a group, not musical, but oh, yeah. Okay, Divine Wind. Yeah, it's a great story, the Mongol invasion. It was a historic reference, Divine Wind. Hey, help, here we're going to play a great game, and it can go real quick. Here's one song. One song is called You're So Vain, and the other song is Everybody's Talking. Now, if you would just brainstorm, and they're connected. There's a connection. I'm going to connect those two. So just brainstorm, and when you come up with something, I'm going to say link, and we're going to connect those two. Let's go.
This is too vague, you know. you're so vain, you probably think this song is talking about you. Is you mean something like that?
Yeah, and everything you can think of related to You're So Vain.
Warren Beatty.
Yes, hold on to that. That's an important link. Okay, now come from the other side. Everybody's talking.
I don't know that song.
Well, Harry Nilsson recorded it.
Oh, right. That's the Midnight Cowboy song?
Yeah.
Midnight Cowboy. Keep that. Everything you can think of related to Midnight Cowboy. What else?
Oh, man.
Dustin Hoffman and John Voight.
Yeah.
John Voight. Keep that one. Okay. Okay, go on John Voight. Brainstorm on John Voight.
Angelina Jolie. We need a more. It has to be more focused here. What are you looking for exactly? What do you tell us?
Well, you can go in any direction. Okay, now if I say John Voight was in name movies by John Voight is in.
Mission Impossible, Coming Home, Midnight Cowboy again. We hit it yet? He's been about 80 movies, I think.
Probably something with Warren Beatty.
Yeah, you got the word Beatty. That's your trigger.
Is it Ned Beatty?
Ned Beatty.
Yes, that's the connection. Now, what's the connection between Ned Beatty and John Voight?
Deliverance.
That's the connection. You got it.
Oh,
you connect all those things. That's how you connect You're So Vain with Everybody's Talking. Those are all the links you need to connect those two songs.
All right.
Right?
I'm exhausted.
I'm going to turn that into a game show. What do you think?
Excellent. It's a winner.
6 degrees of Ned Beatty. All right.
Right. Start with Beatty. Hey, you can go in any direction you like.
That's the name of the show, 6 degrees of anything to anything. Very good.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. It was fun. Bye-bye.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 5 p.m. Feel free to give us a call. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Our panel tonight, that would be technical editor Kira Pace, teacher at Dabo Valley College, Lori Fisher. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, James in San Francisco. Was it two folks who were misidentified as being Jewish in the Hanukkah song? Was that what you were asking?
No, I was asking for two people who he says so-and-so is not Jewish, and then he makes a little joke after that.
Okay, so Bruce Springsteen, although I think Sandler's mom thinks he is, and O.J. Simpson, not a Jew.
Yeah, O.J. Simpson is correct. The bell for that. He is not a Jew. Springsteen's not mentioned in the 1994 song. He might have been.
Is it Tom Cruise?
It is. Tom Cruise is the other one who's mentioned is not a Jew. Very good.
Okay, redeemed myself. Thank you. Happy holidays, everybody.
Yeah,
thank
thanks
you.
Thanks a lot. Good answers.
And Kira, it's your turn.
All right. What groundbreaking situation is shared by the movies Kiss of Death and Psycho?
Well, Kiss of Death. Oh, go ahead, Dana.
Well, no, I mean, Kiss of Death. I'm sure this is tied into a wheelchair going down a flight of steps.
No, because that's not in Psycho. Well, it's something that the two of them share. I read all about that and how the BBC refused to show it for decades.
I mean, there is a murder on a flight of steps. Is that Martin Balsam and Psycho and Estelle? And I know. Okay.
No, it's okay.
Neither one has Ned Beatty in it.
True. Ding, ding, ding.
Or Omar Sharif.
But it has something to do in both Psycho at the end and Kiss of Death. It's somebody's mother who dies in that kind of climactic scene. Not that.
This is more specialized and more it's less they're more similar thing, something that the both of them share, where you don't really have to qualify one or the other. It's just
about two characters that share this or
no,
something they in have, the film?
It's not characters, but it's is just it a, something in the film so a groundbreaking a, thing it, about the film.
Is it a technical thing, like the first use of Smell-O-Rama or something like that?
Well, Psycho is groundbreaking for being the first to show a toilet.
That's it.
Is that it?
Yeah, visible toilet.
A visible toilet.
Because then Dana, do you know why there's a toilet in Kiss of Death?
Gosh, no, I do not. I do not. No.
Because they filmed on location in prison. So
there's prison toilets there that they
could not remove from the shot. So
all right.
So those are the first two movies that had toilets in them?
Not really the first. I don't know that there were never any other movies, but they were notably present in the movies.
All right. All right. You better give us another question then, Kara, since we answered that.
All right. Only six women have ever won a Grammy for Best Comedy Album. Who are they?
I think Lily Tomlin might be one.
Lily Tomlin is, she's the third woman to win one, but the first to win one on her own. So there's kind of a hint for two of them. So Lori, that one's yours.
Then Nichols and May would have to be one of them too.
Yes. Do you know which one was the woman of those two?
Well, Elaine May, yes.
There we go. Elaine May was the second woman to ever win a Grammy for Best Comedy Album.
And you just, you don't want us to guess more of them, right?
No, I'll leave them all for the time being.
That's a good all right. Question. Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, this is Caitlin. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Caitlin in Novato, Goldie Hawn and Paul Newman. And together they make a fine-looking Jew.
They really do, and that's correct.
Quote Adam Sanger. Yeah. Thank
Goldie
you, guys.
Hawn's mother and Paul
Love
Newman's
your program.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Did you give Caitlin two bells?
There you go.
She got Paul Newman and Goldie Hawn, yeah.
And Lori, you go ahead.
All right. Well, I was sad to learn that Stephen Sondheim passed away this week at the age of 91. And I was looking for questions that you might not know the answers to. So if these are too easy, let me know. These are four award questions. I want to know what did Stephen Sondheim win an Oscar? For what did he win the Edgar Allan Poe Award? For what did he win the Pulitzer Prize? And then the twist on the last question, he worked with two Oscar-winning screenwriters on his very first play that didn't get produced until way later in his career. Who were the two Oscar-winning screenwriters that he worked with? I want to know, Sondheim won an Oscar, an Edgar Allan Poe Award, Pulitzer Prize, and I want to know with whom he worked on his first play. It was their play called Front Porch in Flatbush. Who did he work with for that? Since there's four, I'll give you one each and we'd leave the other two out.
I can only do the Oscar.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. The real low-hanging fruit. It's West Side Story, right?
No.
No? Oh, yeah. Wait.
And again, they don't win it generally for stuff that first produced on Broadway unless they write a new song, and he didn't.
So
Oscar for West Side Story. So you can go after other low-hanging fruit.
Oh, I have no idea. That was it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he did not win an Oscar for anything in West Side Story.
Alas.
Mm-hmm.
You must have
one or two of these. I'll give you one.
The Front Porch in Flatbush, I know, because I just read about that recently.
Really?
I don't know. It was in some article about him. Mm-hmm. And he did that with the Epstein brothers.
Who wrote an Oscar for?
Casablanca.
Yeah. I thought that was amazing. In 1941, they write Casablanca, and then he adapts Forefronts in Flatbush into a play that got turned down and was not premiered until 1997. Really,
right? Great.
That was the hardest.
And wasn't the Oscar winning song from, was that Dick Tracy?
Yeah. Remember the name of the song?
No, but it wasn't a very good song. I didn't remember it.
I think it's like when Bob Dylan, whenever somebody who doesn't write for the movie writes, they win. It was called Sooner or Later, I Always Get My Man, sung by Madonna. So that was the Oscar. So let's leave the other two out there. I want to know what he won an Edgar Allan Poe Award for. That's generally for mystery writing. And I want to know what he won the Pulitzer Prize for. We'll leave that out to our excellent audience.
Okay. And let's see. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there, caller? Hello? No? Okay, next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening, Sparky, Maddie in Connecticut. How you all doing?
Good, thanks.
Hi.
All right. Kira, Marilyn McCoo was also one of the hosts of
Solid Gold. He was, of the fifth dimension. Kira. Very nice.
I don't think Billy Davis Jr., though, was a host.
Nope.
Okay, Dana. Yes. Shows that went off on the high note. I Love Lucy.
I Love Lucy is one, yes.
I think I can see this. Dick Van Dyke?
No.
Oh, okay. How about Seinfeld?
Seinfeld is correct. Good.
I was going to say, all right, so how about Andy Griffith?
Andy Griffith, yes. Ooh. That was the three.
Ooh,
yay. Okay, that's it. Talk to you next time.
Thank you. Bye. All right, what three network shows ended as number one when they ended their runs on TV? I Love Lucy, Andy Griffith, and Seinfeld. Very good. Okay. Let me give you a question here. I'm going to give you five royal palaces. I want you to tell me what country they're located in. These are royal palaces around the world. Just tell me what country. Sometimes they are used by royalty, and sometimes royalty is gone, and they're just used as tourist attractions. So these are five royal palaces around the world. Tell me what city or country they are located in. Number one, Dusit Palace, if I'm pronouncing that right. It's D-U-S-I-T, Dusit Palace. Number two, Amalienborg Palace.
Can you spell that?
Yes, A-M-A-L-I-E-N-B-O-R-G. Number three, King Nicholas's Palace. Number four, Peles Castle. That's P-E-L-E-S, which I have been to, and it's quite lovely. And number five, Drottningholm Palace. My apologies. Drottningholm. So again, these are royal palaces around the world. I want you to tell me what city or country they are located in. Number one, Dusit Palace. Number two, Amalienborg Palace. Number three, King Nicholas's Palace. Number four, Peles Castle. Number five, Drottningholm Palace.
Question on the Pele. On the Pele, is it Pele apostrophe S, or is it Peles just all one word, no genitive?
Peles, yeah, it's one word.
Okay.
So it's not the soccer players.
No.
No, because there's a Caribbean Pele, and then there's the Hawaiian Pele. So I didn't.
Right.
Know it was
the this apostrophe is P-E-L-E-S. Right.
Okay. So, Kira, I'm giving you my guess. I will embarrass myself on almost all of them. So you can have. I don't know how many guesses Dana's given us, but take mine.
Okay, I'll take yours and I'll take mine. I don't actually know any of these, but I see a Borg ending, which makes me want to say Norway or Iceland. So Norway for Borg. Amalienborg?
No.
Okay. And then the Drottningholm, especially with the extra N's and the Holm. I mean, it's still going to be Scandinavian, so let's go Sweden for that.
That is correct. That is just outside of Stockholm.
Right. That was my guess, so thank
was
you.
Was it? Yeah, that one was yours. You got it right?
Fantastic. You got the one wrong. I got the one right. That was good.
Okay, that checks out. That checks out.
All right. And let's go over any questions that have not been answered yet. Kira, we'll start with you.
That one was answered. So, okay. The final media appearance of the Solid Gold Dancers was not actually on the show Solid Gold. Where was it? And that was in 1988. I'll even spot you a November 1988, if memory serves, late November 1988, which is to say holiday season 1988. Mm-hmm. Also, seven people held the host job on Solid Gold. Who were they? And Dana got Dionne Warwick, Sparky and Maddie got Marilyn McCoo, looking for five others. And finally, only six women have ever won a Grammy for Best Comedy Album. Who are they? And Dana and Lori got Elaine May and Lily Tomlin, looking for four more.
Wasn't Arsenio Hall on Solid Gold at some point?
Yeah, he was.
Was he a host, though?
He was a host on, yeah, not for very long, but he was.
Okay. All right.
That's a bell.
Okay. And Lori, yes.
Okay. I'm thinking about the Women in Comedy albums. I'll get back to that in a second. I am looking for an Adam Sandler's Hanukkah song in the 1994 version. What do I have left? Two names left. Full names of people whose full names are named as being Jewish. We have run the table on the groups, the Three Stooges, which rhymed with Ebenezer Scrooges. I like that. And we have the people who weren't O.J. Simpson and Tom Cruise. I won't name the others. I'm looking for two more names that are named by Adam Sandler. And then Stephen Sondheim passed away this week, and he won two awards that are out there still. He won the Edgar Allan Poe Award for something he wrote, and he won the Pulitzer Prize for something else that he wrote. I'm looking for those.
All right. And let's see. According to Gourmet Magazine, did a survey and asked for recipes on what to do with turkey leftovers. And then they asked their readers to vote on what were the best, what were the worst. And these were voted the worst. There are four that were voted the worst. And so you're sort of grafting turkey onto other recipes when you get right down to it. Kira suggested like turkey pizza, and that's sort of on the right track. So what were the four worst turkey leftover recipes according to Gourmet Magazine? And I give you a list of some royal palaces around the world. The ones we have left are Dusit Palace, Amalienborg Palace, King Nicholas's Palace, and Pele's Castle. What countries or cities are those in? And the two numbers to join us, area code 415-841-4134 or 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, guys. It's Hayes, San Francisco.
Hi, Hayes.
How are you lot doing tonight?
Good, thank you. I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving.
I had a very quiet one since I didn't have anything to thank, and I wasn't going to give anyone anything, but I had a lovely time. I think from my memory of Bangkok, isn't Dusit Palace in Bangkok?
You have a good memory of Bangkok. That is indeed in Bangkok.
Oh,
yes,
my
very
God,
good.
I actually remembered something from Bangkok. That's astonishing. And I've got a question for you guys. I just found out the other day that the San Francisco Public Library had brought something in because of the pandemic, but now they've decided to adopt it as normal practice. What do you think that is? The SF Public Library.
So you mean this was outside and they brought it in?
No, what they did is a policy that they adopted because of the pandemic, and now that they've decided that they're just going to keep it, pandemic or not, they're just going to keep this policy. What do you think this policy was?
Does this have anything to do with the homeless, by any chance?
Nope.
Does it have something to do with the way books are checked in and out?
It definitely is.
Oh, they're not going to charge fees anymore on late books.
No, they actually stopped charging fees a while back, thankfully. That changed a lot of my bank account. that isn't the case. But it is to do with checking out things.
So there'll be no more librarians who check books out? It's all self-done?
Oh, no. They'll still keep the peploids. We need the peploids.
But it's initially COVID-related and safety-related, correct?
It was related to COVID. I'm not quite sure why it was brought in, because when you get the answer, you'd be like, what does that matter? But let me know when you've given up so that other people can call, and I'll tell you the answer.
Does it have to do with dropping them off, dropping the books off?
No.
But it has to do with the flow of books in and out of the library, like checking
Definitely.
In and out.
Okay. Yes.
Is it something they do to, like, put them under a blue light or something to sanitize them in some way?
No, that's not it.
All right. Well, I think we're tapped out now.
Or we need a hint, maybe.
Or we need a hint, yeah.
What about the number of books?
You mean the number of books patrons are allowed to check out at a time?
Yep, that's a big...
So is it unlimited right now? Is it infinite now?
Close to it. Originally, it was 50, which I thought was quite amazing, 50 items. They've increased it to 100 items.
Wow. At a time.
So if I would be very interested to know anyone that's going to check out 100 items. I would like to meet that person.
Boy, and then keeping track of them when they're due. So that would be something.
Well, now they're not charging. They're not charging for overdue. Oh, so I'm not quite sure.
Somebody like that would listen to the show. So you never know.
That's correct.
We'll, yeah. We'll try to get them in touch with you if they do.
Okay. All right, guys. Well, once again, it's a great show. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ace. Appreciate
if any callers have 100 books checked out from the public library, they should tell us.
Yeah. And, okay, who has a reasonably short question? Kira, Lori?
I do.
You always do.
I know. Yeah, I have a separate list of them. But, Kira, I'll give it to you if you have.
No, because I doubled up on that visible toilet.
Okay.
Flash.
All right.
This
go ahead.
Is a relatively short question.
Yeah.
Whose autobiography has blurbs endorsing it by the following kind of strange eclectic group? Okay. Alex Haley, Richard Nixon, Michael Jackson, and Liza Minnelli all endorsed this person's autobiography. Who was it?
So how old is this book?
It's during our lifetime, but I'm going to guess it was in the 70s or 80s.
I have two guesses just because they were so wildly popular.
Yeah.
What about Sammy Davis Jr.'s Yes, I Can?
But Give Her a Bell. It was his other, he had two of them.
This was he did.
Why,
I don't remember.
Why? It was called Why Me.
That was it.
Yeah. And also, yeah. So Alex Haley, Richard Nixon, Michael Jackson, Liza Minnelli. It's the only time they've all endorsed the same book. Very good.
Okay. That you know of.
That's true. That's true.
The only autobiography on my grandparents' bookshelf was Sammy Davis Jr. Like everyone had it.
Okay. I have another quick one if you want it. This is even quicker, I think.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah. So William Friedkin interviewed on TCM about the French Connection, where Gene Hackman sort of burst out into celebrity. William Friedkin did not want Gene Hackman at all. He wanted a more established star who was really famous as a television star, more of a comedy star. And he insisted upon it and lost, and then was happy he did. So who did? And he was very, it wasn't like a side deal. He really pushed for it, but he didn't have enough power then. So who did William Friedkin want to play Popeye Doyle? Which television star?
Was the person a television star at the time?
Yes. I'm not sure if the person was currently on TV, but the person was a big television star and had made a couple of movies.
William Shatner.
Excellent guess.
Yeah.
Not Captain Kirk, no.
Like a Carol O'Connor type?
That isn't far off. But not Carol O'Connor, but that's that kind
of
time.
Is it a TV detective?
No.
But known mostly for comedy.
Yes, I would say mostly for comedy, and not completely, but mostly for comedy.
Oh, wait. What about Dick Van Dyke?
Another good guess, but not Dick Van Dyke.
Okay. Leave it out.
Okay, so it's who did William Friedkin want cast as Popeye Doyle in French Connection? He got Gene Hackman, who was fantastic, but he wanted this television star to be the star.
All right, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hello, you there, caller? No? Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, hi, it's Sandra and Danny in Albany.
Hi.
Happy Hanukkah. We're about to fry our latkes. So we have a couple of answers, I think.
All right.
Are you there?
Yeah, go ahead. Please.
Okay, sorry, I couldn't tell. I think that I'm guessing on the Stephen Sondheim, but I'm pretty sure he won the Poe Award for Sweeney Todd, because that makes sense.
It does make sense, but that's not what he wanted for. Really?
No. Okay. Oh, how about assassins?
Not for assassins.
Rats. Okay. How about the Pulitzer? Was that Sunday in the Park with George?
Yes. Bell for that one.
Yay. And then we have a guess about the Solid Gold Dancers. Their last appearance.
Yeah.
We are wondering if it was the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Oh. It was not.
Oh, great guess.
That is good. A good guess.
It was on a holiday on the holiday track, which is right, but not Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
But the holiday track is right, Danny. Any other guesses?
That one?
Super
Bowl was what I...
Well, we'll be kicking ourselves shortly. So, great show. Happy everything.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
So, Kira, how about the Andy Williams Christmas special for the Solid Gold Dancers?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
And how about for the comedy albums? We haven't guessed on that much. How about, did Amy Schumer win a Grammy?
She did not.
Okay. How about Burns and Allen? How about Gracie Allen?
Not Gracie Allen.
Oh, because Dana, one of them was before a pair. So I was thinking, who else? Who would have won it around the Nichols and May time?
A year before Nichols and May, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, and that's why I was thinking Burns and Allen, but I think they're too early for Grammys and might not have made records.
Yeah, right. So, Stiller and Mira.
No, that's a great guess, but sadly incorrect.
That should have been it.
No. As a clue for that one, since it was the first two, that was when the Grammys gave out their comedy. I think they had split it, but this was actually for musical comedy. So musical might help you some.
Yeah, they used to split it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So who? So this, and this was a comedy team, mm-hmm. right? Of some kind?
Yep.
Husband and wife?
Believe so.
Or a couple?
Yeah. I think they were married, but yes, definitely a couple.
Not Les Paul and Mary Ford. They did not do comedy as far as I know.
All right, let's think about that. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is again. Forgive me for calling back, but I forgot to mention that the Mongols, before their defeat by Egypt, they killed as many as 60 million people. It is said that they killed 1.5 million people in Baghdad, in the city of in the Abbasid Empire. So they're really a bunch of savages. Thank you very much. Sorry to call back, but that's really important information. 60 million people, which is over 10% of the world population in Europe and Asia then. Very high number of people were killed by the Mongols. Thank you again.
Happy Thanksgiving. And next call.
Hello.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Is that I'm on?
You are.
Okay. Early in the show, I only sort of heard it with half an ear. You had some kind of a question which involved movies and toilets, but so I thought of another question in that vein, and this one is a movie that was made in, I think, the 70s. It might have been the late 60s, but probably the 70s, and it did also star Gene Hackman, but it's not The French Connection, and a toilet featured very prominently toward the end as part of finding the answer to the mystery.
Was it The Conversation?
Yes.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Very few people know that movie. In fact, I hate most Coppola movies, but that's one I really love.
It's a fantastic movie.
I know. And I'll watch Gene Hackman in everything, anything. He's great. And I first came to San Francisco in the mid-70s, and so I first saw that movie about 20 years after that, and it made me so nostalgic because San Francisco looked so different in that movie in the 70s.
Do you have a guess on who William Friedkin wanted to star in The French Connection?
No, I find that a really fascinating question. Right. I didn't realize
the answer. Okay.
Because Hackman was so great as Popeye Doyle.
Fantastic.
He was like Captain Ahab or something going after frog number one. But okay, thank you. Nice talking to you. Bye.
All right. You too. Thanks for the call. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, this is Fred in West Virginia. Okay. Hi, Happy Good Hanukkah, day. The Hanukkah song. A ball player, Rod Carew.
Yeah, somebody got him, but that's correct.
Yeah.
Give West Virginia a Rod Carew bell.
Okay. And how about a quarter Jew, Harrison Ford, and that ain't too shabby?
Who's the ain't too shabby?
Harrison Ford.
Well, Harrison Ford, give him a bell for that. Which name did he rhyme with not too shabby? It wasn't Harrison Ford.
It's something about Dear Abby.
Yeah, and so Harrison Ford. You're very close to Dear Abby. It's Dear Abby's, somebody related to Dear Abby.
Her sister.
Yes. What's her name?
Okay. Don't know.
Ann Landers.
Ann Landers. That's the one of the ones we're missing.
Oh, Ann Landers and her sister.
Fred a bell for Ann Landers.
And I heard a little lecture about bats, so I have a question about bats. What are baby bats called? They're so cute.
I was going to say kits or something like that, but
you're getting there. You're getting there. Little baby bats. They're so cute.
Yeah. Huh.
Do they share a name with something else? Like, are they puppies as well or some such?
Exactly. They're called pups.
Oh.
And a group of bats is, as you know, a group of bats is what?
No. Don't know.
A belfry.
A colony. Thank you very much. Happy holidays to everybody.
Thank you.
Happy holidays, Fred.
All right. And if you want to give us a quick call, the two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134 with a question or answer, or toll free 866-798-8255. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, I'm calling about the question related to the Grammy for Best Comedy.
Yeah.
Could it be Sonny and Cher?
It's not. That's a really good guess, especially with the musical comedy. But it turns out that this one was in 1961, which I think is a little early.
Oh, way before. Okay.
But a really good guess.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you the caller?
Yeah, I guess I'm the next caller.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey. Okay, great. Has anybody answered the question about Scrooge? I mean, about Scrooge.
You
solid
just
gold
did.
Dancers. I just said it. Solid gold dancers.
The very last appearance of the Solid Gold Dancers was in
was
the movie
it on the
Scrooge.
Movie Scrooge?
It was. Nice job.
Good.
Thank you. Yay. Well, I love that film. My husband and I watch it every year.
It's a fantastic holiday movie. One of the best.
It's great. All right. Well, thanks. That's all I got.
Thank you.
That coming. Wow.
Is that the one where Buddy Hackett plays Tiny Tim?
He's not Tiny Tim. That's Mary Lou Retton. But Buddy Hackett is in it as Buddy Hackett.
Oh, okay. All right. And let's see. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Ray.
Hi, Ray. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Now that we're on a roll with movies with toilets in them, I have to mention a really big movie from 1968 that features a toilet in a very important scene, although it's not crucial to the plot.
That's not much to go on.
So you want a 1968 movie with a toilet in it? Is that it?
Yeah, it's a really big movie, not a very big toilet. That's a hint.
Small toilet.
Is it on a boat or a ship or something?
You're getting warm. You're getting warm. A special kind of
airplane.
Ship.
Is it an airplane?
Even warmer, but not quite.
Is it
going
to be a disaster movie?
That's an interesting question. The movie ends not with a disaster, but with kind of a mystery.
Not with a bang, but a whimper.
I think 1968, one of the major movies. Some people hate this movie. Other people absolutely love it.
Well, Airport is 68, isn't it?
Graduate is 68.
Oh. Graduate's not a bad guess. Let's see. Was he ever in the bathroom in there?
I don't know. Caller, help us out here.
Well, in Airport, they set off the guy sets off the bomb in the in the toilet.
You know?
But he says it ends in a mystery, which is why the graduate...
I don't know if we have enough time to leave it out there for other callers.
No, we probably don't. We've only got a few minutes left. I guess you should just tell us.
2001, A Space Odyssey.
Really?
Yes. And cool. It's a hilarious scene because Bowman goes into the toilet and reads the instructions on the wall, which are about 20 named procedures that have to be followed exactly to operate safely in a zero-gravity toilet.
Huh. Pretty good.
It's so funny. They actually did a lot of research on this, and the instructions are quite accurate, although it was going to be a long time before people were orbiting that long in space in zero gravity. But they worked it out with scientists as to what a zero gravity toilet would be like. And just recently, the space shuttle astronauts going back and forth to the space shuttle had a very serious problem with a toilet malfunction. And they actually had to return to Earth wearing adult diapers.
With that too. Thank
yeah.
You.
So, just a little corner of movie history that's probably better to leave the door closed on.
All right. And thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Thanks to Carol.
Okay.
Opening that up.
Yes. All right. One more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me?
That is you.
I think that should be the call. The name of the show should be called it. Is that me? And we've got to streamline things so we don't have long-winded people talking. Anyway, I dropped the call earlier. It's too late for this question. Except thank goodness Dana is here. He'll get this right away. What movie, these three movies, what do they have in common? High Sierra with Humphrey Bogart.
Mm-hmm.
Colorado Territory. And I Died a Thousand Deaths.
They're all the same plot. They're all
I know, movies. They're all the fucking same movie, for gosh sakes. Oh,
same movie.
And I people complain Colorado now about there's nothing original now, but it was always that way. It was always that way.
Right. Colorado Territory is with Joel McRae. It's like the Western remake of High Sierra. And then I Died a Thousand Times is Jack Palance in a sort of a modern day High Sierra. Yeah.
Okay, then a bonus question, since I'm still here.
Very quick, because we're almost out of time.
Okay, why are Glenn Ford and also Randolph Scott not as popular as John Wayne?
Save it to next week, maybe.
The answer is because the United States people are stupid.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right, this is an opinion question, yeah. All right, thank you very
well,
much.
Okay.
That's a dead end.
Go back.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, thanks, everybody. Just to wrap up, let's quickly give the answers to the questions that are out there.
Lori, is your answer Don Knotts by any chance?
Don Knotts, no.
Yeah, okay.
No, good guess. Right.
Well, only right. Six women have won a Grammy for Best Comedy. The ones we were missing were Joe Stafford, Whoopi Goldberg, Kathy Griffin, and Tiffany Haddish. Of the people who hosted Solid Gold, we still had Rex Smith, Rick Dees, and Nina Blackwood.
Oh, okay. All right, Lori.
The one name we didn't get from the Hanukkah record was David Lee Roth of Van Halen. Stephen Sondheim won the Edgar Allan Poe for writing the movie script for The Last of Sheila with Anthony Perkins. And William Friedkin wanted Jackie Gleason to play Popeye Doyle.
Yeah,
didn't get
might have been all right.
Yeah, might have been.
All right. The Royal Palaces, Amalienborg Palace is in Copenhagen. King Nicholas's Palace is in Montenegro. Pele's Castle is in Romania. According to Gourmet Magazine, the four worst ideas for turkey leftover recipes, turkey ramen, turkey jello, turkey sushi, which is turkey and cranberry sauce wrapped in turkey skin, turkey cake, which is turkey filling, mashed potato icing, and sweet potato on top. So I'm sorry you missed all those. If we didn't get your call, I'm sorry. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 5 p.m. My thanks to Kira Pace, Technical Editor Lori Fisher, Dabo Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks to Damian D. Minder for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. Have a great week, everybody. Please join us next Sunday at 5. Bye-bye.
You ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night.